Hello.
My name is John Matthews, and in the absence of Stuart, who is having a well-earned break, it is my privilege and pleasure to lead this service. Wherever and whenever you are listening, please be assured that the Lord is with you, and let us worship God. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul. And do not forget how kind he is. Let us pray. Loving God, we come to worship you, to praise you for our lives, for our salvation in Christ, and for the empowering of your Spirit. We praise you for the many ways we have experienced your grace and your goodness, and have known your quiet, constant presence in our lives. May we be open to meet with you in unexpected ways, discerning your presence in what is strange to us, and seeing familiar things in new ways. God of love and mercy, we come before you knowing that we are in need of forgiveness. We have sinned against you in our thinking and in our thoughtlessness, in our speaking and in our silence, in our actions and in our inaction. We have not always loved you with our whole heart and soul and mind and strength, and we have not always loved our neighbours as ourselves. Grant us your forgiveness, we pray. Continue to transform us into the image of your Son, and lead us along the way to the fullness of your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A Bible reading this morning is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 21 to 26. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone in the world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The passage we've just read from Matthew's Gospel contains some very important words about what it means to be a disciple or a follower of Jesus. Jesus says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." If we're honest, these are words we'd rather not hear, aren't they? We would prefer to hear words like, "Come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Or, "God so loved the world that he gave his only Son." These are comfortable words, encouraging words, safe words. But the words "deny yourself and take up your cross" are none of these. And life is hard enough at the moment, isn't it, because of the coronavirus? As well as the suffering and death which it has brought to so many, we're all having to live differently, with things like self-isolating and social distancing Perhaps that should be unsocial distancing. Wearing masks when we go on the bus or to the shop. Then there are the effects on people's livelihoods, on the education of children and young people, and on the physical and mental well-being of so many. We've got enough to cope with without being told to deny ourselves and take up our cross if we want to follow Jesus, which really means that we have to be prepared to suffer and die for him. In the story we've just read, these words are part of Jesus' response to Peter's protestation when Jesus says that he himself is going to suffer and die. Just before this, Jesus has asked his disciples who they think that he is. Peter replies by declaring him to be the Messiah, the Son of the living God, to which Jesus responds by calling Peter blessed and saying that he will give him the keys of the kingdom. But Peter's moment of glory is short-lived. When Jesus begins explaining to his disciples what lies in store for him, that he's going to suffer many things, that he's going to be killed and then on the third day be raised to life, Peter can't take it. He explodes. After all, the Messiah, God's anointed one, is supposed to be a great warrior king, a military leader, someone who will lead a revolt against the occupying Romans so that the Jews can live in peace and freedom in the land God has given them. So it's not surprising that Peter cried, "God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen to you." It's a totally understandable reaction. It's also a totally wrong one, as Jesus shows by his extremely strong response to Peter. "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me." So Peter goes from hero to zero in no time at all. Jesus knows the temptation to play things safe. And we can safely assume that what Peter says to Jesus is a real temptation. Why else does Jesus silence him so harshly? How did Peter and the other disciples feel at Jesus' rebuke of Peter? The Gospel writer doesn't tell us, but let's try to imagine ourselves in their situation. Let's hear Jesus' words about suffering and dying spoken to us. Let's hear his sharp rebuke of Peter when he protests. What do we feel? Do we feel distressed at the prospect of losing Jesus? Do we feel afraid that what Jesus says will happen to him may also happen to us? If this is what we feel, then our fears are quickly confirmed by Jesus' uncomfortable words that I mentioned earlier. "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me." But, and this is really important, we should notice that Jesus does not stop there. That he goes on to say, "Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." The unpalatable truth is that our fear of suffering and death can rob us of life, because fear of death can turn into fear of life, into a cautious way of living, far from the abundant life which Jesus came to bring. The deep truth of Jesus' words is that the way to experience this abundant life is not by saving our life, but by spending it, by giving it away. I'm reminded of a song that says, "Love is something if you give it away, you end up having more. It's just like a magic penny. Hold it tight and you won't have any. Lend it, spend it, and you'll have so many they'll roll all over the floor." Giving life rather than keeping it. In 1952, Jim Elliot was one of a small group of American missionaries who went to Ecuador. and who were murdered by Ecuadorian Indians 4 years later. I mention this because his journal for October the 28th, 1949 includes these words. "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." Those words powerfully express what Jesus says about losing our lives in order to keep them or to find them. Peter didn't want Jesus' life to be ended. He wanted to save it, to preserve it. He wanted Jesus to be the Messiah in a way that did not involve suffering and death, rather than the suffering servant and saviour whom Jesus saw himself as being. Peter didn't understand that Jesus' life was not to be ended by death, but transformed by it. It seems that he was so shocked by Jesus saying that he was going to die that he did not hear him say that he would be raised on the third day. And perhaps it's not only Peter who missed those words of Jesus. Perhaps we miss them too. Or if we don't miss them, we don't recognise that they have something to say about us as well as about Jesus. "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me," says Jesus. These will never be easy words to hear, but we need to hear them if we're serious about following Jesus. They remind us of The Cost of Discipleship, which is the title of a book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer, as you may know, was a German Christian pastor and theologian who opposed Hitler from the beginning and who was hanged in April 1945 in association with those who had tried to kill Hitler the previous year. And let's not forget that today in many parts of the world, Christians are persecuted for their faith in Christ and for their unwillingness to renounce it. But whilst Jesus' words about denying ourselves and taking up our cross and following him are hard to hear, we also do need to hear that Jesus goes on to say, "Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." In the final analysis, the invitation to follow Jesus is an invitation not to death, but to life, in the present and in the future. But we can only follow Jesus if we don't get so frightened at the prospect of suffering and death that we forget who we are and whose we are and why we are alive in the first place. As the American preacher Barbara Brown Taylor, "You can try to save your own life. You can try to stockpile it, being very, very careful about who you say yes to, being very, very cautious about who you let into your life, and being very, very wary about going outside yourself, venturing forth only under very heavy guard and being ready to retreat at the first sign of trouble. You can live that way, but don't expect to enjoy it very much or to accomplish very much. And don't expect to be missed when your safe, comfortable life comes to an end and no one notices that you are gone." Being a follower of Jesus is about living a life that matters, a life-giving life of love for God and people, a life which spends itself without counting the cost, knowing that God always has more life in store for us because God never runs out of life. Jesus' enemies counted on his fear of death to shut him up or to shut him down, but they were wrong. He may have been afraid at times, as in the Garden of Gethsemane, but he didn't let this fear stop him from going to the cross. Had he not been prepared to die, he could not have been raised from the dead to new life. Following Jesus means going beyond the limits of our own comfort and safety It means receiving our lives as gifts instead of guarding them as our own possession. It means generously sharing the life we have instead of bottling it for our own consumption. May God give us the grace and the courage to live this way as followers of Jesus. Amen.
This is Simon speaking, and I'm going to be leading you in our prayers this week. So let's pause for a moment and pray together. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to approach you in prayer and to be able to bring our concerns to you, both our hopes and our fears and all those things that bother us at the moment. And we thank you for your promise that you will listen to us. As we look around the world at the moment, Lord, there just seems to be so much bad news. Even the weather seems to be conspiring against us this August bank holiday, and it's easy to let all these things get on top of us and to feel a bit down in the dumps. You know, not a day goes by without being reminded of the devastating effects of coronavirus and all the knock-on impact that that has on our lives. This week we've seen the devastating damage caused by the hurricane in America. We've been reminded again of the reality of racial injustice following the shooting of Jacob Blake. And on Friday, the horrors of human trafficking were brought to our attention once again as Ronan Hughes admitted the manslaughter of 39 Vietnamese migrants. And so we pray, Lord, for those who are suffering at the moment, those who are dealing with the effects of COVID, either the disease itself or the impact of the disease, perhaps people who are worried about their jobs and their future and their income. We pray too for those who are having to deal with bereavement, for those who've lost possessions, those on the sharp end of injustice. We're mindful too that there are many in our own families and in our fellowship who are in need at this time. People undergoing hospital treatment, people feeling frail in their health, people experiencing all sorts of difficulties and problems. And we just pause for a moment, Lord, to remember those that are known to us, for whom we want to bring before you at this time. Lord, we ask that you would bring healing, peace, and hope into these situations. Help us to appreciate your infinite love, your concern both for ourselves and for the world. Help us, Lord, to learn to trust you even when things don't seem to be going our way. And give us patience, Lord, when things don't get better as quickly as we would like. Keep us hopeful, keep us optimistic, and help us to look outside of ourselves at the opportunities to serve you, to share your good news with those we come into contact with, even if that has to be from a safe distance at the moment. We give thanks for the opportunity of running Alpha online, and we pray for those who've been attending the course and ask that you would continue to bless them and that they would benefit from having watched the videos and had discussion about faith. Help us all, Lord, to be attentive to what you're calling us to do in the current situation in which we find ourselves. Help us to be light in the darkness. Sometimes, Lord, you do call us to step out of our comfort zones, to do things that perhaps we're uncomfortable with. But Lord, help us to be attentive to your call and to serve you no matter what. Lord, we just pause too to pray specifically for our church at this time. We pray for Stuart and Jodie. We ask that you'll bring them back refreshed and ready to go after their break. And we pray too for our church leadership as we approach another round of elections. And we pray for those who are considering becoming deacons or standing for deacons and posts, church posts at this time. We pray, Lord, that those people know that that's the right thing that you're calling them to do. And we pray for our leadership team as we continue to think about the reopening of our building over the coming days and weeks. So Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we've had to bring these prayers before you, and we just commit them now into your hands and thank you for your care and concern for us. In your name we pray. Amen.
And we end our worship with a blessing. May the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon us and remain with us always. Amen.